Hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us, thanks for being with us today. We're a multi-campus church, so right now we're connected with our Torrance campus. Great to have us all connected in this way. Great to see you guys. We are in week three, our last week of this three-week series that we're calling You 2.0. And the idea is that sometimes people of faith, specifically Christians, are kind of known for being kind of dour and kind of cranky, maybe know-it-all, maybe. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus was full of joy and vigor and excitement, and he brought that to the people around him. And so what we're doing in this series is we're saying, how could we overcome, push through that stereotype that religious people are kind of stuck in their ways and kind of cranky? How could we push through that so that people can have a vibrant relationship with God? And for some of us, we fall into that category of kind of cranky or dour or know-it-all. How could we become more like Jesus so that those great connections with people can happen? And so what we've done over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at these kind of underrated character qualities that are in the Bible that can help us be this newer version of ourselves. Week one, we talked about what it means to be a curious person. And then last weekend, Pastor Jill said, what would happen if we turn that curiosity inward and became a self-reflective person? And then today we're going to end with a topic that we don't often talk about in churches and in places of faith, and that is, what does it mean to be a person of enjoyment? Are you a person of enjoyment, or are you one of those people that tends to kind of tamper down your enjoyment, or kind of tamper down the enjoyment of other people? You know, like you're having a good time, just kind of tone it down a little bit, would you? Like, we need to be more spiritual here, so let's not have too much of a good time. And I have to admit, I this is a growth area for me. I fall into this category. I have been known to be the person who tries to like not enjoy things too much, or try to get other people to not enjoy things too much. When my kids were little, all of their toys were noisy. They all had speakers on them. It was cars, it was stuffed animals. Everything had a speaker. You put a battery in it, and it was always at volume 10, no matter what. And there was never a volume dial on these lights, and it drove me nuts. So I had this little trick that before my kids would get their toys, I would put multiple layers of transparent tape over the speakers. So by the time they got it, it was just like, and they didn't know the difference. And I was like, this is wonderful. And I remember one year, one of my sons, he caught on to it. He turned over his toy and he was like, what's this tape on here for? And I was like, don't touch it, don't touch it. I mean, ironically, I was louder than the object would be if it didn't have the tape on it. And not only did I cover it for my sanity, but I'm embarrassed to admit that I kind of spiritualized it too. I kind of got into the zone of saying, like, God doesn't want things to be so loud, you know? And I actually found Bible verses that could back it up, because I was saying, these are my values, but I'm gonna put them in the mouth of God in order to tamper down the noise in my life. So I think some of us are like this. We all have temptations to do that. And people of faith, Christians in particular, not only do Christians kind of try to tamper down stuff of people's enjoyment, but also Christians sometimes are far too serious. Churches are really good about talking about the seriousness of sin, but sometimes we don't talk about the sin of seriousness. There's a great quote by a Christian philosopher and satirist by the name of G.K. Chesterton. Look what he says about this. He says, "I do not like seriousness. I think it's irreligious. The man who takes everything seriously is the man who makes an idol of everything." What is he saying? He's saying when we're so serious, when everything is a life or death situation, it turns us into being judgmental and reactionary and critical of everything. Christians sometimes lean into being negative, gloomy, dour, because we're trying to help people see the importance of God and the seriousness of the world, or we're concerned about the problems in the world, and somehow we feel like the lack of enjoyment gets people more focused on the right things. But that's just not how Jesus operated. Jesus was very serious about some things, but he's characterized as someone that would bring joy and hopefulness in every situation he was in. And I think that's what we should be like. Here's the main idea for today. We should be known for our ability to enjoy life. Let me share with you a few reasons why this is. Reason number one, enjoyment is a gift from God. Isn't it amazing that when God chose to make the world, it's not all in gray tones? That we have color and sound, and we have texture, and we have all kinds of interesting things in the world. Not only did God make the world that way, but almost in cooperation in making the world that way, he made us as human beings with specific body systems to experience all of that variety in life. Look at the different body systems that we have of sight and sound, smell, touch, taste, balance, movement. And then the interoceptive system is our perception or awareness of fullness, temperature, pleasure, all these different ways that we can experience and even enjoy God's world. Do you enjoy God's world in all of these different ways? Maybe there's some ways you're like, yeah, I don't even think about that. Not only that, but we're all kind of uniquely gifted, maybe leaning toward one or another. We've got our graphic designers, we've got our musicians and our dancers and our athletes and our people involved with textiles and our chefs and our so many different ways for us to enjoy this world that God has given. Are you able to experience the full life that God has given to us? And maybe there's some that you could experiment with. I actually bought this shirt. This is not normally the kind of shirt I would buy, but it has all this interesting texture to it. And I was looking at shirts, and I went to the normal ones that I go to, and then I saw this thing. I started touching it, and I was like, I feel like I should just get that. I don't think I really appreciate texture in my clothing. Some of you are like, that's all I measure it on. You know, you don't even think about color. It's all how it feels, right? I think this is part of that full life that God intended. In fact, we try to integrate all of these things in our worship times together. Light and sound and let's stand up, let's raise our hands, let's clap, let's move, and let's make sure that we have that great coffee smell permeating through all of our buildings, right? So there's this beautiful fullness of life. Sometimes the idea is, oh, if you're very spiritual, if you're very religious, you wouldn't bother with those. You don't need any of those. Look at one of Jesus' teachings. Look what he said. He said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they, us, may have life and have it to the full. Let me tell you who this thief Jesus is talking about. When I first became a follower of Jesus, I read this and I was like, I know who that thief is. That's the devil. But that's actually not who Jesus is talking about. If you go back into this chapter in the New Testament, John chapter 10, you'll realize the thief that Jesus is talking about is religious leaders and false teachers and people in positions of authority who will say, well, you got to follow these rules. Don't go do this. Stay away from these things. Or here's all the barriers you have to go through in order to experience life with God. Or the people that put up rules and regulations around things that God created and made for us to enjoy. But those false teachers are like, don't enjoy that. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. I came that you would have life and have it to the full. Don't listen to the thief who's trying to pull you away from a full life with God. Now, I actually don't think we have as much of that problem today. I think we have the opposite problem. The opposite problem is there's everybody out there going, you do whatever you want to do. If it feels good, go for it. There's no boundaries. There's no rules. If you've been created by God, just enjoy everything without limit. And I think that confuses us because then we don't understand the difference between enjoyment and indulgence. Somebody once said, enjoyment is when we appreciate the gift of God. Indulgence is when we turn the gift into a God. You know, we're looking for joy, so we overeat and we overspend and we overcommit. That's when our desire for joy turns the thing into an idol. We end up getting our meaning and value and purpose from something rather than God. That's how we move into indulgence. I spoke to somebody years ago when I was working as a chaplain. He was in the hospital because he had some problems in his body that had come from alcohol abuse. And in the course of the conversation, we were talking about his struggles with addiction and that disease. And I said, what is your, let's say, drink of choice? And he said, it's wine. And I said, oh, you love wine? He said, no. He said, you know a person that loves wine because they sip it and they pair it with good food and they enjoy a wonderful meal with friends. I don't love wine, I use wine. He said, I use it to soothe myself. I use it to give me courage. That's the difference between enjoyment and indulgence. And Jesus wants to move us from this to this. A real appreciation for life and enjoying life as God intends. So here's an action step from this. Reject the gravity of a gloomy outlook. In this day and age, and sometimes you get more and more spiritual that you're just focused on the wrong things and you're way too serious, way too gloomy. And this was me. I'm embarrassed to say this was me when I first became a follower of Jesus. I was serious as a heart attack. People wanted to just talk to me about life and good things, and I would always turn it around into some. They'd be like, well, isn't it a great day? Yeah, it's a great day, but the day of the Lord's judgment is coming, and we need to watch out for that. Like, what the heck? Like, I was just relaxed, dude. And I don't think anybody came to Jesus when I was like that. It reminds me of a while back, I was doing some woodworking in my garage, and I got this bandsaw, and I'm cutting on this bandsaw. And I don't know what was going on, but it wasn't cutting. The wood wasn't cutting. And I thought, man, I must have had, like, the wood must be too hard. You know, there's different textures of wood. I was like, let me change that. Let me try another. Oh, man, I was putting all this work in it to try to get it through that blade, and it just wasn't cutting. And I was like, maybe it's a bad blade. So I switched out the blade. I think I switched out the blade like 2-3 times, and it still wasn't cutting. I was like, oh, my gosh. One of my sons came in, and he was like, you have the blade on backwards. You're cutting on the flat side. I wasn't on the teeth. And I think sometimes Christians and people of faith are thinking, the best way for me to cut through culture and to make a difference is to be really serious. But you know, humor cuts through stuff in a totally different way. Joy and the enjoyment of God's world can cut through the negativity in our culture. But we have to decide to do it that way. And that's the second reason we should be known for our ability to enjoy life. And that is, enjoyment is a choice. It's a decision that we make. A couple months ago, I kind of encouraged everybody to read through different psalms in the Bible, maybe go through a psalm a day and go through it. Some of you might be up to this psalm. Look what this psalm says. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice it doesn't say, this is the day the Lord has made. If something good comes my way and catches my enjoyment, then I'll lean into it. It isn't, I'm waiting for enjoyment and joy and rejoicing to happen to me. It's, God has made this day, and I'm actually gonna look around and work to experience the day that God has provided. And some days are easier than others. But it's a choice that we make. In fact, the New Testament reinforces this, that rejoicing and experiencing joy is actually an act of obedience. Look at what this says. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. It's almost a command. If you're a very serious, if you're like, well, we need to obey the Lord, obey this. How can you make those choices? This is great because it says do it. The question is how? How do I do it? Well, the author of this letter in the New Testament goes on to suggest one way that we can experience that enjoyment, and it's this. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and don't watch the news. That's what it should say down at the bottom. Because the news is not like, hey, here's half an hour of things that are going great. It's here's the things you should be afraid of. Because that generates advertising dollars. There's something, it's almost a negativity bias, I think. I think built into us, maybe this is how God has designed the safety mechanisms in us. Like, human beings are often assessing threats. And so there's something in us that is quickly magnetized to identifying potential threats. Our bodies are already wired to do this. We don't have to go looking for potential threats. What would it be like to fix our eyes on the good things that God is doing? Not to deny the bad things. It's not like we're gonna stick our head in the ground and ignore all that stuff. We acknowledge those things. We wanna fix those things. We wanna deal with those things. But we don't get fixated on those things. Once we get fixated on those things, it can move us in a direction that is not healthy and is not spiritual. It feels religious, but it's actually irreligious. Now, we have an opportunity for that kind of intentional enjoyment choice this coming week. So here's an action step for you. Embrace the opportunity to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. Some of you are like, this is my shot to talk about politics with my relative. Some of you are like, they're all gonna be there, and I need to talk about my faith. Do you feel that? Some of you feel the pressure, like, I've got some people in my family that don't know the Lord. And through the prayer, or I need to look for an opening in the conversation so that I can tell them about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to just enjoy your family. Just enjoy a great meal. Just enjoy being with people. Because that enjoyment of a great meal and enjoying being with people is a witness to your faith. You ever have the thought in your mind, like, think about people in the world and you think, what about the people who have never heard about God? Have you ever thought, what happens to them? Do they have any evidence? What happens to the people that live out in the world that have no evidence that God exists and God is good? Look at how Paul, one of Christianity's first evangelists, responded to that question. He says, God never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts. Isn't that interesting? The evidence that God is in the world and good is the fact that you can get food and then sit down for a good meal and enjoy each other. There's something profoundly spiritual about simply sharing a meal together. Which is why one of our big things is this Thanksgiving food drive that we're doing and packing that food after the services and praying over those boxes. Praying over that meal distribution, because what we're believing is that as we put food together and we pray, that people eat, and as they're eating, they're going, boy, God is good. I'm thankful. And God meets them in that. God meets us in that. And from that, there's a choice to live in that. Do I want to experience more of God's goodness in my life? I begin, all pun intended, hungering for that, right? I want to enjoy that. And that's something powerful about the spiritual life. In fact, there's something, and this is harder, again, this is a growth area for me, even just thinking about this and preparing to talk about it, it's doing something to me. There's something profoundly Jesus-focused and spiritual about enjoying life. Here's one more reason. Enjoyment is the culture of God's people. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Maybe it should be. Maybe this is an aspirational goal here, that enjoyment is the culture of God's people. Jesus went to a lot of parties. It's very interesting when you read the life and story of Jesus. Jesus went to parties, he went to gatherings and homes, he went to feasts. In fact, there's one section in the New Testament where the religious leaders were getting upset with Jesus because he was going to so many parties. They didn't think that he was serious enough. And they're like, what are you, like a glutton and an alcoholic? Because you're going to all these parties. In fact, he would go to parties and the religious people were like, we don't like the people that are at those parties and we don't think you should be seen with them. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine at a wedding that likely lasted multiple days. When someone came up to Jesus and was like, give us a picture of heaven. How would you describe life with God in its fullness? Jesus, like he always did, he said, let me tell you a story. And he said this, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, He sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet's ready. That's heaven. That's the picture. He wasn't like, heaven is like eternal Bible study. You know, like we're going to get into the deep questions. He's like, no, it's like, you know, when you get together with people and you have a big meal and you enjoy time together, that's what it's like. I find that so fascinating. In fact, that language is used throughout in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It talks about how heaven is called the wedding feast of the Lamb. That Jesus, it's like the ultimate wedding where we are all the bride and Jesus is the groom. And we get to have this beautiful, eternal day together. What a great and beautiful picture, especially when you think when Jesus was recommending how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he said, one of our prayers is, God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's something about us getting together and eating and enjoying and appreciating God's world that's a foretaste of heaven. And there's an opportunity to reflect on that. So here's one more action step here. Use shared enjoyment as a bridge to spiritual conversation or invitation. The fact that we get together at Thanksgiving, whatever that looks like for you, whatever connection point is, the fact that we have this holiday that we do this, it's an opportunity to get together and just say, let's just live in this and let's invite Jesus into this. And then maybe an opportunity comes up where there's an invitation to more of it. I think about that. We did our first One Degree project as a church at the Torrance movie night right around Halloween. And so we had all these, they did a big movie out in the park and kids dressed up in their Halloween costumes. And then there were booths and we had a booth there and we did a craft. And so here's some pictures of what we did that night. And these kids would come up. We had so many people at this booth, mostly because there was a craft to do. It took a little bit of time. We were decorating bags and we gave them bags for Halloween. We gave them big bags because you want a bit, like it was like, give me candy. And so we gave them these big bags and then we actually gave them candy. And what was great, and I love this about it, it wasn't like, okay, you can pick out a piece of candy or two. It was like two handfuls of candy that we would just drop in there. We gave away so much candy. And the kids were like, oh my gosh, you know, the bag weighs down, they walk away, they're like, this is amazing. I was like, that's a picture of God. The abundance, the look at what God has given us. Look at this world. Look at your body. Look at your opportunities. Look at the breath that we have in this. Look at the beach. Look at all these. Look at the food that God's provided. Look at the rain we get once a year. It's amazing. You know, God's provided so much for us. Like this is profoundly spiritual. Here's what we talked about today. We should be known for our ability to enjoy life. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a deeply spiritual person, enjoyment is a gift from God. That's why we should be known for our ability, because we're all about recognizing the gifts of God. Enjoyment is a choice. Make the decision. Rejoice. Do your investigative work if you have to. Find the areas to experience joy, and enjoyment is the culture of God's people. And this is very, very important today, because we live in a culture that feeds off of negativity and gloominess and seriousness. And I think we, as people of faith, have an opportunity to bring something different. Even as we present the message of Jesus, we can present it in a way that invites people to a full and joyful life. And let me end with this one quote that I found. This is a quote by John Ockeghem, who was the president of a Christian school that was opening here in California back in 1946. And in 1946, kind of post-war California, it was a very divided area here in California. Politically, culturally, there was a lot of fights, there was a lot of tension, and a lot of negativity, especially from religious people who had just kind of gotten off of World War II, perceiving it as the clear evidence of the end times. And Akinjay gives this speech about the culture in the West, and he gives a challenge and an invitation in this Christian school to do things very differently. And I think it's timely and even prophetic for us. Look at what he says. We will not be negative. Now, there are those who exist in the world simply, it seems, to attack others, to derogate others, to drag them down, and to besmirch them. We want the positive presentation of the Christian faith in a critical world. By the grace of God, we will have it. I love that quote. What would it be like if we were known as enjoyment people? Not indulgence people, enjoyment. In fact, kind of the people who struggle with indulgence, and they're like, I'm really struggling with this because I'm dealing with giving myself too far to go. They say, you know what you should do? You should talk to a Christian. And they would be like, talk to a Christian? Yeah, Christians seem to be able to enjoy life as God intended in such a full and wonderful way, and they seem to be the most joyful people around. Wouldn't that be great if we could be known that way? Let's all stand. I'm gonna close our service today, and if there's something that you would like someone to pray for, we're gonna have our prayer team available if you wanna know more about our church. Definitely these Thanksgiving bags, it's gonna be a great opportunity to pack those, to be involved in that. There's still time to get those in before the end of our next service. So let me pray for us, especially as we head out to Thanksgiving holidays with friends and family. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have this week, and especially to focus on being thankful. Awaken our hearts and our minds, remind us of the joy and fullness that Jesus intends for us, which of course is so focused in our ability to live in the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for all the gifts you give us. Help us to be enjoyment people this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.